time for Dean Richards Entertainment Report. And Fast and Furious was a big winner over the weekend, wasn't it?
We, you know, you wondered what it would take to get people to go back to the box office. Turns out it's Vin Diesel, fast cars, explosions, car chases. Fast and Furious 9 took in $70 million over the weekend. I have not uttered that sentence in about 17 months. The last time that a movie made that much money was in December of 2019. But, yeah, it was a big, big winner. People maybe, you know, here in the Chicago area, probably because of the lousy weather that people wanted to go do something and went to the theaters. Quiet Place 2 was the number two movie. Last week's number one, The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. Number three, Peter Rabbit 2 came in fourth, and Disney's Cruella number five. So people are going back to the movies.
And how? And they're going back to Broadway too, aren't they?
Yeah, the first show opened on Broadway over the weekend. It was Bruce Springsteen bringing back his Springsteen on Broadway show, which ran for over a year on Broadway. It won a Tony Award. It won an Emmy Award. It was sold out virtually during the entire run, closed in 2019. But they talked him into bringing it back to kind of herald in this post-pandemic period on Broadway to get people to come back. So once again, it's a virtual sellout. To get tickets for the opening night on Saturday night, he donated the proceeds to New York and New Jersey charities. It's now in a larger theater. They do have a vaccination requirement. In order to get into the theater, you have to prove vaccination, which brought out some anti-vaxxer, you know, demonstrators out in front of the theater. Anytime that there's a vaccination requirement on any show, demonstrators show up saying that it's discriminatory and everyone should be allowed to go in the show. You know, and I say it's his show. He can do whatever he wants to do. He can have whatever kind of requirements he wants. It's his show. But it's, you know, a very, very, very similar show to what he was doing before, in which he tells his life story through song and spoken word. Those who saw the show said that it was much more emotional this time, that at times he was even choked up talking about the loss that we've sustained during the pandemic. He joked about his encounter with the law during the pandemic, where he got stopped and eventually pleaded guilty to consuming alcohol in a closed space when some fans spotted him and stopped him, and he did a couple of shots of tequila with some fans. So he was joking about that in the show as well.
Is this the way Broadway in Chicago is going to operate, do you think, with the proof of vaccination being required for admittance?
They haven't said for sure yet, but I would not be surprised. They're going to try to keep things as safe as possible, and especially now with this Delta variant that's going on and the possibility that the World Health Organization is already suggesting that we go back to masks and social distancing and everything because of this insidious Delta virus that they say is even more contagious. So, you know, I guess it's going to depend on what happens with the spread of that. But we should be hearing soon from Broadway in Chicago of how they're going to handle things in Chicago. They've only announced dates so far, which are on BroadwayInChicago.com. They have not said how seating's going to go, if they're going to put spacing between people, go full capacity, have vaccination requirements. We'll keep an eye on that and see.
And same is true for concerts that'll start resuming pretty soon. Yeah. We're not sure how concert promoters are going to work this, are we?
No, especially in closed concert settings. There have been a few clubs that have opened, you know, smaller venues like Shuba's. They've had bands, and that's an inside venue. I don't know how they did it, but Ravinia is going to be opening on the 4th of July, a couple of days before that, for some small shows. But Jim Peterik from Survivor and the Ides of March, he's doing a big show on the 4th of July, and CSO starts next week. So, you know, big shows, big venues, even though that's an outdoor venue, they're sticking with the protocols that they had set up so far. Even though things have loosened up, they're going to have reserve seating in certain lawn areas. They're going to have The seating in the pavilion will be in groups of four or six, and there'll be spacing in between them. You know, they made very clear at Ravinia they're going to follow whatever the current protocols are for everything.
You know, when people start whining about having to wear a mask, you know, you just have to think about how we use seat belts now and how there's no smoking on an airplane. Things sometimes have to be done for everybody's health and well-being.
Yeah, that's what it's about, really. And while we're talking about COVID real quick, not to bring things down, but Joe Brand, who does sports here on WGN, you've heard him on all the shows, posted on his social media over the weekend that his mom passed away because of COVID-19. She went into ICU around Thanksgiving time and was supposed to get a lung transplant. The transplant never came, and she passed away on Friday. So our love and condolences to Joe and his family for this loss. Joe says in his post, hug your mom today if you can. And, you know, I will add to that, as you just said, wear your mask. You know, protect other people so other people don't have to have this kind of loss that Joe and his family have, that, you know, where his mom passes away. Get your vaccinations. You know, be courteous to other people to not spread this virus even more.
Exactly. Sorry to hear that news. What happened at the BET Awards last night, Dean?
Big winner of the night was Megan Thee Stallion. She won four awards, including Video of the Year and Best Hip Hop Artist of the Year. She also took honors with Cardi B, who made the announcement official last night that she is with child. She is expecting a baby. Other winners included the artist called Her, Best Female R&B and Pop Artist. Chris Brown, Best Male R&B Pop. Best Male Hip Hop Artist went to Lil Baby, and the Album of the Year went to Jasmine Sullivan. Jasmine Sullivan is the young lady who sung the national anthem with Eric Church at the Super Bowl this past September. Beautiful, beautiful voice. She performed on the show also, but her this was her first studio album in 6 years, and you know, wound up winning Album of the Year honors.
We have some news about Phil Rosenthal. This is the other Phil Rosenthal, not the former Chicago Tribune writer. We have to say former now because he took the buyout.
Right. He took his last column was on Friday. But Phil Rosenthal, who you know, he was the executive producer of Everybody Loves Raymond. He was and still is host of the amazing foodie travelogue show. It's one of my favorites, called Somebody Feed Phil.
It's a fun show.
It's great. Before that was called I'll Have What Phil's Having. It started off on PBS and then went over to Netflix. And on each of the shows, Phil would feature his mom and dad. He would travel all over the world trying food, but then he would do like a FaceTime with his mom and dad. His mom passed away recently, and now his dad, Max Rosenthal, passed away over the weekend. Max Rosenthal was a Holocaust survivor. He was 95 years old and told the best dad jokes. He was famous on the show for just, you know, telling these just classic old jokes. He was so charming. And Phil Rosenthal said that his dad was his biggest influence on him. So sending our condolences to a great guy, Phil Rosenthal, as well.
Big anniversary being celebrated. One of the most popular kids' movies of all time, huh?
Yeah, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. It pains me somewhat to think that the movie was released 50 years ago, because I'm pretty sure I went to the theater to see it when it came out, and have been completely dazzled by the movie ever since. The movie that starred the late Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka, and this group of unknown kids that were in the movie, who are now in their 50s and 60s. I did a Zoom chat with them that we played on my WGN Sunday morning radio show yesterday. So if you want to hear it, we have it posted. But Peter Ostrom played Charlie Bucket, and he is now a veterinarian. Judy Dawn Cole was Veruca Salk. She is a psychotherapist now.
Wow.
Paris Thiemann, who was Mike TV, is a financial advisor. And the one that you got to see, you got to hear the interview, is Michael Ballner. He played Augustus Gloop. And he is a tax accountant now. When we talked to him, we did a Zoom call with him. He's in, you know, he lives in Munich, Germany, always has, and was in his full lederhosen, saying that, you know, it's completely traditional. I said, do you meet with your tax clients wearing lederhosen? He said, absolutely. It's not unusual in Germany to do that.
Yeah, why not?
And I said, do your clients know that you're Augustus Gloop while you're doing their taxes for them? And he said, in Germany, it's not a popular movie. People do not know the original version of Willy Wonka, so it's a complete non-issue there. They don't even know the storyline until Johnny Depp's version of the movie came out by maybe like 10 years ago. But it's a really fun interview, catching up this kind of where are they now sort of interview that we did with them, that you can hear on WGNRadio.com.
You know what else is hard to believe besides Willy Wonka being 50? Mel Brooks celebrating birthday number 95 today.
95 today, yeah.
Isn't 95. That something?
And you know what? Still as full of energy as ever. You see him in interviews. He's still hilarious. A couple of years ago, they did a night with Mel Brooks at the Chicago Theater, in which they showed Young Frankenstein on big screen at the Chicago Theater. So I went to that, enjoyed seeing the movie on big screen. I don't know if I've ever seen it on big screen, really. I mean, I've mostly seen it on television or, you know, rented it or watched it streaming. But to see it on big screen was great. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. But then at the end of the movie, probably then 92-year-old Mel Brooks came out on the stage, and he did a presentation, talked with the audience, and I mean, he was in full Mel Brooks mode, hilariously funny, took questions, and did not miss a beat. I was like, I hope I'm like him when I'm 92 years old.
Yeah, really. And when was the last time you saw Blazing Saddles?
Right. I saw a couple of clips of it recently and thought, well, there's another movie that could never get made today.
That's right. Oh, for sure. Well, in honor of Mel Brooks' birthday today, I'm going to be having some beans for dinner.
Very nice.
Have a nice day.
There's your warning, Marianne.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Dean.